In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen. Amen.
Laws, learnedness, rules. Think for a moment about the rules you've been taught in your life about how to live properly as a Christian. I have a vivid memory of children's chapel from childhood, wiggling in the pews along with some other squirrely kids. The teacher up front saying, "Now, if you really want God to hear you when you pray, you close your eyes and you fold your hands and you put them in your lap. Now let us pray." I now understand better that when I close my eyes and clasp my hands, it's I that can hear God better, and the teacher who was relieved back then by the silence. What are some of the rules that you learned about faith as you grew up?
Be kind.
Follow the Ten Commandments. Follow the Ten Commandments. What else?
Love others as we are loved by God.
Yeah. Well, for Jewish people and for Jesus, there were many rules to follow. The Law of Moses featured 613 commandments. These commandments, these rules, lay the framework for the context where we find Jesus in the gospel, among faithful people trying to understand how to live these laws. And Jesus is among a couple of groups of people today in this gospel, the scribes and the Sadducees. Now, the scribes had knowledge of the law and could draft legal documents, like the paralegal of yesteryear. Sadducees were members of a Jewish sect. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They denied the existence of spirits, which is interesting on a day like All Hallows' Eve. They believed in the obligation of oral tradition, and they emphasized the acceptance of written law alone. So these were people who lived their lives trying to understand how to follow the rules. Yet here we are today hearing Jesus' response to all the rules, having heard Psalm 146, a psalm of praise of God who loves through justice of the marginalized in our midst. In Hebrews, we hear of Christ who by his life sacrifice reimagined all of the rote carrying out of the rules of sacrifice. That his life was done as one great sacrifice that fulfills the purpose of all the other sacrifices combined. I had a mentor once who shared with me this quote by Saint Bernard of Clairvaux from the 12th century. "What is the good of learning without love? It would puff us up. And love without learning, it would go astray." The law, the learning, is to love. So how are we doing in living out that law of love? 20th century theologian Karl Rahner wrote, "Jesus said, 'Whatever you have done to one of the least of these, you have done unto me.' How often we have heard this expression and used it in our own devout, pious speeches. But let us ask ourselves, is it really possible for Jesus to say that? Is this not legal speech? Saying, 'I give you credit as if you had done unto me what you had done for one of the least of these people?' No, this is not legal speech or moral discourse or a bargaining method. For it is truly the case that we encounter in the other person the Word of God made flesh, because God himself truly lives in the other. And when we love the other and do not block the dynamic of this love by being guilty of rerouting it back to ourselves, then the divine descent into human flesh happens. so that God is where we are and is looking at us through the other person. Whenever another person meets me, there is Christ present, asking, "Do you desire to love me?" The Word of God become flesh. And when I answer, "Yes," then he replies, "Here I am, in the least of my brothers and sisters." How easy it is for us to understand the law, and how much more difficult it is for us to live out. The bishop who ordained me once said in a sermon of the greatest commandment, "It is impossible to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself." I thought about those words ever since he said them, well over a decade ago. And I would add, it is impossible to love God unless you understand and are confident in God's love for you. I'm fortunate to have had an experience of God's unfailing love at the young age of 13. At the time, I did not really like myself, let alone love myself. I was a teenager who would talk back to her parents, and I was navigating growing up in a confusing middle school world. I went to this camp. And by the third day, I had already been in a group that had gotten into trouble and suffered a consequence for our actions. On the fourth night, I heard a man tell a story about God's love, about how, in spite of his shortcomings, he had a severe stutter, strong self-loathing. Someone told him God loved him anyway. He accepted that, and it changed his life. He spoke confidently that night. The stutter would still emerge at times, but still the words flowed, and the invitation came to accept that same love he'd come to know. Now, instead of anyone saying that week about my back-talking, sassy 13-year-old ways, "Now, is this how God wants you to be?" they asked instead, "How can we walk with you?" One evening, at the invitation of others there, I walked forward and made a commitment to accept God's love in my life, to open my heart to actually believing that God accepted me, to let that love change my life. I was both skeptical and fearful, but I finally walked forward and prayed that God would change my heart and my life. And it did. It changed my whole life. It's the primary reason I am standing up here preaching today. If I had merely stuck with what I learned in children's chapel about how to properly pray, according to my Sunday school teacher, I might have had a good working understanding of some ways to access faithful living. But I might never have known the central component of the law of God, the essential truth that God loves us, calls us to know that love and live that love. Where else will people learn about the love of God but from us? What would it look like for us to adopt compassion as a rule rooted in the law of love? Compassion based in reason would still then love if someone behaved negatively. Think about it. True compassion is not an emotional response. True compassion means loving even and especially when someone falls short. It's the kind of love that silences those fixated on law alone. Love like that changed my life. love from God who loved me, even when I was behaving in a way unworthy of that love. At Calvary Church, the final part of our vision states that we will open ourselves to God's grace, recognizing that we are all broken saints and redeemed sinners. Each week as we come forward to receive communion, I like to think of it as an altar call. As you receive communion this week, whether you receive the bread or are receiving a blessing, whether you come forward this week receiving that you are believing that you're simply receiving bread or a blessing, or you can believe that you are receiving God loving you just the way you are. When we break the bread, it reminds us that we're broken and that God loves us anyway. And when we share that broken bread, it's a reminder that God's always there to be present to heal us, make us new, love us. So as we walk around this altar today to receive the broken bread, note the others walking forward to receive the broken bread too. And think, how can we walk with one another in this love? How can we walk with you? And if you find yourself resistant to all of this, this love of God, don't give up. Keep coming back. You'll find that God won't stop loving you. And that love is there waiting for you whenever you're ready. And if you don't see it in that piece of bread, keep coming back. And I believe by the grace of God, it will one day be revealed. Father Pedro Arrupe is attributed with saying, quote, "Nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love in a quite absolute, final way. What you are in love with seizes your imagination and will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you will do with your evenings, how you will spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in capital L love. Stay in love, and it will decide everything." Amen.